Sing to God a brand new song. The Holy One has made a world of wonders. With sleeves rolled up, God set things right. God made history with salvation and showed the world what he could do. The Most Holy One remembered to love us, a bonus to Israel, indefatigable love. The whole earth comes to attention. Look, God's work of salvation. Shout your praises to God, everybody. Let loose and sing. Strike up the band. Round up an orchestra to play for God. Add on a 100-voice choir. Feature trumpets and big trombones. Fill the air with praises to God. Let the sea and its fish give a round of applause, with everything living on earth joining in. Let ocean breakers call out, "Encore!" and mountains harmonize the finale. A tribute for God's arrival, when she comes to set the earth right. God will straighten out the whole world, put it right, and everyone in it.
The year was 1943. World War II's end was still 2 years away, but on the radio and in nightclubs around the nation, big band music and jazz was the music of the moment, carrying people, if even only for a moment, away from the battlefield action in Europe, Africa, and Asia. And in Carnegie Hall, the prominent African-American band leader and composer Duke Ellington premiered Black, Brown, and Beige, described by Ellington as a tone parallel to the history of the Negro in America. Black, Brown, and Blue is based on a story that Duke wrote about Bula, an African who arrived in the New World on a slave ship. It tells of his servitude, of his search for solace in the Bible, of his emancipation, and his eventual participation in Black American history. This narrative is the only evidence historians have that Ellington was thinking at the time of writing an opera on the history of African Americans, a project that he never did complete. However, Bula became the inspiration for his most important extended work. Come Sunday, which you heard this morning, was originally part of the opening section, Black in the title, but in later years was subdivided into its own section, sung by the great gospel singer Mahalia Jackson. Now, you all might be surprised to learn that Duke Ellington was a deeply religious man who traveled with a rosary, a cross, and a Bible everywhere that he went. He studied the scriptures very closely and was particularly fond of the Song of Solomon. Lord, dear Lord above, God Almighty, God of love, please look down and see my people through. Simple, pleadingly beautiful words. Mahalia Jackson, in her 1958 performance of Come Sunday, sings these words as a gentle, caressing prayer. While preparing the sermon this week, I listened to this performance. In hearing her sing it, I was listening to her just imagining she's sitting on this grassy knoll on the side of a hill, looking skyward, singing this song to God, this prayer to God. Yet, in this recording, you can sense, you can feel this pleading urgency when she sings these words. For you see, in 1958, the nation is still reeling from the 1955 murder of Emmett Till. And this is before the 1960 sit-ins at the Woolworth lunch counter in Nashville that led to the nonviolent student movement in the South. This is before the Freedom Riders, Birmingham, Selma, and the signing of the 1964 Civil Rights Act. When she sings the third verse, "I believe that God is now, was then, and always will be. With God's blessing, we can make it through eternity." Mahalia is not only referring to the history of African Americans to this point in their journey, but what is to come, looking for a hopeful and eternal end to the woes of racism that African Americans faced. It is also no mistake that this song is entitled "Come Sunday." African American scholar William McLean notes the importance of Sunday to African Americans, even in secular music. To the Christian, Sunday is or should be another Easter in which God's victory in Christ over sin and death are celebrated in work, word, song, prayer, and preaching. After all, historically, even slave masters and owners tried to be more human on Sunday. During the Civil Rights Movement, Sunday service was where those who were on the front lines of the battle for equality refreshed, refocused, and recharged themselves for the next rounds of sit-ins, bus rides, voter registration drives, and marches. Music and the sacraments played an important role, nay, I would say a lifeline, for those who stood up in those tough, tough days for freedom and racial equality. Through the scriptures, the psalmists have always encouraged the people of God to have a sung faith, and there can be no doubt of the power of music in our lives and in our faith generally. We remember songs. They bring back memories. They speak to our souls. They enfold us like a warm hug, like an old friend. Come Sunday, oh, come Sunday, that's the day. The world has changed a great deal since Come Sunday was first performed on that cold January night in New York City. We've fought wars in Korea, Vietnam, Iraq, and Afghanistan. We live in a fast-paced, internet-driven society where we work and play at a frenetic pace. As someone who is juggling a full-time job, a part-time pastorate, and is going to seminary, there are days where I wish I could sleep standing up so I could just get that one more hour of time to get it all done. Yet, when I come into this beautiful building on Sunday morning, my heart slows down. My soul fills with joy because I get to be with all of you together in community, to sing the songs of the faith, to hear or preach sermons and meditations that uplift us on the journey as followers of Christ, to share in the joys and concerns of our church family, and come together with each of you at the table of grace and mercy where all are welcomed with open arms. Sunday is a time where we step out of the world time and we step into God time. Sunday helps us reset and recharge and reorient to what really matters. Let me share an example of this from my recent Borderlinks trip. Three weeks ago today, I, along with my classmates from PTS, found ourselves at Southside Presbyterian Church in Tucson. Southside Presbyterian is one of the original churches from the sanctuary movement of the 1980s. If you remember the courier from that week, this is where the picture of the plaque with the imprints of the hands and the feet honoring the many migrants who died in the desert was taken. That Sunday morning, I was angry and I was really sad. The day before, we had gone on a desert hike with a local resident to experience the conditions migrants encounter when crossing the desert borderlands. Lori, our host and one of the leaders of Green Valley Samaritans, in her house took a moment to show us items that they had found in the desert, taking water and doing runs, backpacks, very exquisite hand-woven, hand-embroidered towels that had been made by somebody's mother or somebody's grandmother or somebody's aunt, pictures of family members, medicine. There was a journal of somebody trying to teach themselves English. And during that walk that morning, we saw three graves of peoples that had been found in the desert, including a 16-year-old girl. That one was the hardest, because where that grave was, if you looked east from the grave, you could see houses, including Lori's house. Help was only 2 football fields away from that grave. And because of fear or exhaustion or both, help was never summoned and help never came. My emotions were so raw that morning as I sat in that pew in that beautiful adobe-style church in South Tucson, far away from all of you, questioning why in the world I even went on the trip, because I was already overwhelmed with what I had seen around issues of immigration in the past 36 hours. And then imagine my surprise when I opened the bulletin and saw that 2 of my favorite hymns, Gather Us In and Here I Am, Lord, were the opening and closing hymns for the service. Those hymns, by the way, happen to be the ones that will open and close my ordination service. I leaned over to my dear friend Anna and said, "Well, don't be surprised if I cry through the whole service because of the music. I'm having a really tough day today. But you know what? I was the one that God surprised. God reached through the pain of injustice to refresh me, to reorient me toward the bigger picture, that I was indeed exactly where I was supposed to be at that moment, and that God's grace would indeed see me through the experiences of the rest of the trip. I came back from Border Links more resolute and more clear than I have ever been on the call to ministry that God has placed on my life. And when I rejoined all of you 2 weeks ago, I knew exactly where I was supposed to be. Lord, dear Lord above, God Almighty, God of love, please look down and see your people through. The battles of injustice still exist today. Immigration reform and the alarming increase of homelessness among our youth here in the Twin Cities, human trafficking, cuts to social programs, including SNAP. The list just goes on and on and on. The issues that we face in our lives, aging parents, job concerns, stretching our dollars to cover increased cost, it all takes a toll. To be a follower of Jesus in today's 24/7 world can be exhausting and tiring and maddening. We can run out of gas and be ready to chuck it all by the week's end. But you know what? But remember this. Come Sunday. Oh, come Sunday. That's the day. Sunday is the day when we come together to take a deep breath. And God's Spirit recharges our batteries, refreshes our souls, and renews our minds. We are here together in community, supporting each other on the journey.